produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Cannabis-based drug halts Alzheimer's progression in animals. The anti-inflammatory properties of a synthetic form of Delta-9 THC, the primary active compound in cannabis, deflect the memory loss associated with Alzheimer's disease and could ultimately slow its progression. According to preclinical trial data presented by Ohio State University investigators last week at the annual Society for Neuroscience conference in Atlanta, investigators reported that older rats administered a cannabis-based agonist experienced a 50% improvement in memory and a 40 to 50% reduction in brain inflammation compared to untreated controls. Study investigators suggested that similar results would likely be experienced in humans suffering from the disease. The study is the second this month suggesting that cannabis may moderate Alzheimer's disease progression. Earlier this month, investigators at the Scripps Research Institute in California reported that THC inhibits the enzyme responsible for the aggregation of amyloid plaque in a manner, quote, considerably superior, close quote, to approved Alzheimer's drugs such as Donepezil and Tacrin, quote, our results provide a mechanism whereby the THC molecule can directly impact Alzheimer's disease pathology, close quote, investigators wrote in the October issue of the journal Molecular Therapeutics. Quote, THC and its analogs may provide an improved therapeutic option for Alzheimer's disease by simultaneously treating both the symptoms and the progression of the disease, close quote. In addition, clinical trials also indicate that cannabinoid therapy can reduce agitation and stimulate weight gain in patients with the disease. Most recently, investigators at Berlin, Germany's Charité University Department of Psychiatry and Psychotherapy reported that the daily administration of 2.5 milligrams of synthetic THC over a two-week period reduced nocturnal motor activity and agitation in Alzheimer's patients in an open-label pilot study. Over 4.5 million Americans are estimated to be afflicted with Alzheimer's disease. To date, no approved treatments or medications are available to stop the progression of the disease. More information about this story is available on Normal's website at norml.org. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Tomorrow night in New York City, the annual Stony Awards takes place at B.B. King's Blues Club. With us here today on the Audio Stash to talk about the event is Steve Bloom. Steve's also the producer of the Hempilation 1 and 2 albums, and we'll have some Hempilation music for you here today. Steve Bloom is the editor-at-large for High Times Magazine and the producer of the annual Stony Awards in New York City. The awards take place at B.B. King's Blues Club tomorrow night, and there are still some tickets available. We have links to buy them at normalaudiostash.com. Steve, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
Hi there, Chris. How are you?
Doing very well, and thanks again for joining us today. Tomorrow night, the curtain goes up on the Stony Awards in New York City. Tell us what folks are in for.
Well, tomorrow tomorrow night, the Stony Awards, the 6th annual High Times Stony Awards, celebrates what we call the Stoniest and Highest Movies and TV Shows of the Year. So we'll be giving out awards in 20-plus categories, from Best Movie, two different movie categories, Best Stoner Movie, Best Pot Scene of the Year in the Movies, Stoner of the Year, Best Actor, Actress, things like that. Also on the television side, we give awards for Best TV Series, Best Late Night Talk Show, Best Cable News Show, Best Reality TV Show, and things like that. So we'll be giving out awards throughout the night.
There are a lot of these scenes and moments out there, especially this year. Must be really difficult to sort through them all.
There are a lot, and not just this year, but certainly over the last few years, I think there's been more and more, and that's why we're doing an award show, to determine which are the best scenes. Just because you smoke pot in a movie doesn't mean you're going to get an award. It just really determines, you know, how the scene is played and how the character fits into the storyline. Is it a smart character? Is it a dumb character? Is it a stereotypical character? Is it, you know, an edgy character? You know, we look into all those things and then decide. There's a certain number of scenes in movies and TV throughout the year that would justify being nominated for a Stony, but, you know, I spent a lot of time and other people at High Times watching, and, you know, we, you know, put it all together, you know, at some point in time and determine, you know, a list of nominees.
Steve, as someone who's watched these media and entertainment trends, has the usual approach leaned towards portraying that stereotypical stoner?
Well, that's been the case for the most part over the years. I think it's shifting. Weeds is probably the best indicator of that on television, on the Showtime show, that the characters who smoke pot on that show are pretty average, you know, middle-class people, and it's not your usual, you know, underage stoner, just giggling a lot. So yeah, I think that's what you've seen. And also, you know, in movies, although it's fun and funny and comedic, there's been a tendency to sort of lean towards the Cheech and Chong approach to marijuana comedy. And that was brilliant in 1978, but, you know, things have changed a little bit by now. So, you know, a lot of the, some of the stoner movies that come out over time sometimes play to the kind of lowest common denominator. But there's a shift. There's definitely a shift in characterizations that are more positive.
So much of television and movies are produced out in Los Angeles. Has Proposition 215 and the liberalization of marijuana in California contributed somewhat to these more sophisticated portrayals?
Well, there certainly wouldn't be Weeds without Prop 215. I'm convinced of that. I mean, Weeds is totally informed by the fact that you can go to a medical club and get marijuana if you have the slightest, you know, need or illness. And, you know, Weeds actually has gone to medical clubs, or at least, you know, created them for their own, you know, TV purposes. So I don't think this show would ever have happened, you know, without, you know, Prop 215 and the change in, you know, marijuana policies in the state of California, and as far as on TV. So I think it's affecting things a lot that way. And in general, I think Hollywood recognizes, without saying directly, that, you know, marijuana smokers are a big movie-going audience. And so they play to that crowd with stoner movies, and they repeatedly make movies that have marijuana use in it, and I think they do it for a reason. Hollywood doesn't do anything without trying to make money, and I think they believe that there are people out there that will get a kick out of seeing representations of marijuana, you know, a la Cheech and Chong style, you know, whether it may be, you know, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, or Grandma's Boy, which is nominated this year, or Road Trip, or How High, or any number of other movies that have been made over the last few years. And certainly, you know, in the last 7 to 8 years, there's been a shift in this direction, with there's more and more movies made for marijuana smokers.
And Steve, has the process of engaging the entertainment industry in things like the Stony Awards, has that been difficult or easy?
It's getting better. You know, when you start something new like the Stonies, as we did in 2000, you know, the first time you tell people about it, they don't get it. They always get a little giggle when I call somebody and say, hi, it's Steve Bloom from High Times calling about the Stony Awards, and they always laugh a little bit because, you know, the pun of the name of the Stony Awards, and that was sort of on purpose, so it kind of gets the attention. But, you know, I think more and more now, I mean, people are serious about it, and also we give awards to movies that ordinarily would not get awards, so, you know, the movie industry and the TV industry loves an award show. They love getting recognized, and, you know, we're a niche that, you know, doesn't exist until, you know, we created the show. And, you know, we're giving awards to movies perhaps like A Scanner Darkly or Clerks 2 or Grandma's Boy. They're not going to get awards in many other award shows, maybe the MTV Awards. That's about it. So, you know, the door's opened a little bit. And, you know, and in general, the industry, although it's still a little bit concerned about catering to the marijuana smoker too, obviously, especially on the movie side. Well, in TV, I mean, TV is fairly well censored, so you really can't do a lot of things on TV. You can allude to it like the 70s show would with, you know, like a smoky scene, but you wouldn't really see anybody smoking. And on, you know, on premium cable like Showtime, yes, you might see somebody smoking, or on Entourage on HBO, you'll see people smoking. And in the movies, they regulate as well as what you, not so much what you can see in the movies, but how you can promote the movies. So they're a little careful about promoting a marijuana, you know, oriented movie. And sometimes it harms the movie because, you know, it's really for the marijuana smoker, yet they can't really promote it directly to the marijuana smoker with an obvious pot leaf or, you know, smoking reference in the promotion of the movie or in the advertising or the trailers. They have to really lay low.
Now, that is very interesting, Steve. The industry is playing to a market, marijuana smokers here, but it's being held back from playing to that market 100%. That's a really interesting part of American media culture right now.
Well, there's been a shift in the last few years with the Motion Picture Association of America, which has regulations that do prevent the promotion of illegal activities, you know, in movies. Although, you know, there's so many, you know, violent movies that seem to get promoted, you know, whereas, you know, marijuana, you know, is relegated to an area of deep concern, and you have to be very careful about, you know, how it's presented to the youth of America. You know, that's changed a little bit. I think things have softened. They've had change of leadership at the MPAA, and so I think, you know, we're finding that, like, for instance, this year at High Times, we received more advertising from the movie industry than probably ever before, and that was one of the goals of the Stonies, was to open up some advertising doors, too. Not so much for the revenue, but just to show that, you know, that you could advertise these movies properly in a magazine like High Times. And in the past, we wouldn't get ads for such movies, like a movie, say, for instance, How High. You know, we would get a soundtrack ad for the movie from the music industry that is favorable to High Times, but we wouldn't get a movie ad from, you know, from the same, you know, parent company that was releasing the movie, say Universal, because of the regulations of the MPAA. But we found this year that the companies are starting to just kind of like go around that, or just take their chances that, you know, they might get fined or whatever happens, you know, as far as the penalty if you do something you're not supposed to do. So, for instance, the movie Grandma's Boy from 20th Century Fox was advertised in a full page in High Times. That's pretty rare.
And, Steve, the Stonies are not just about movies. Redman will be the MC of the event, will also be performing tomorrow night.
Right. Well, we just wanted to have a variety show, to be honest, and you know, not just sit there watching movie clips the whole night and, you know, make it a little fun. And, you know, we were searching around for MCs, and we've had, you know, in the past, we've had people like Jim Brewer and Joe Rogan and Paula Shore. This year we decided to split up the hosting responsibilities between Doug Benson, who is one of the stars and co-writers of the Marijuana Logs and also appears on Best Week Ever on VH1, and Redman, who's a friend of High Times. We've known him for years. He appeared on the cover in 1993. He's a legend in the hip-hop world, and he's a character, and we've met him quite a few times over the last few years, and he's just cracked us up to the point that we feel that he'd be a funny host. So we just decided to sort of put that together, mix that up, and there'll be a few musical performances during the night. There'll be a performance from a play about the hipster Lord Buckley. There'll be a performance of the Weeds theme song by Terra Angel. There'll be a segment of the Marijuana Logs performed by Doug Benson, Tony Kameen, and Redman. So that's two out of the three guys from the Marijuana Logs. And after the show, Redman's going to do a special performance. And he really hasn't done a lot of performing in New York lately. He's got a new album coming out soon, so he's been kind of quiet. So it's like a rare you know, show for Redman. And we'll finish the show with a performance by Herbal Nation, one of our favorite stoner bands out of Providence, who's played the Boston Freedom Rally and the Cannabis Cup in the past. So we just mix it up. You know, it's like a fun variety night.
We're speaking with Steve Bloom, High Times editor-at-large and producer of the annual Stony Awards in New York City. And Steve, speaking of music, you're the producer of the Hempilation 1 and 2 albums, which we showcase here on the Audio Stash. So first, thank you very much for the great production, the great albums. I listen to them all the time. Hempilation 2 lives in my car. Tell us about the experience with the Hempelation albums. How'd you pull this great variety of musicians together?
Well, my feeling at that time when I put that together prior to the Stonies, I did that in 95, the first one in 98, the second one in 1998, was that musicians are so supportive of marijuana, and, you know, we'd feature them constantly in High Times and meet them often, and, you know, at shows backstage, they come up to the office, one place or the other, we'd interact with musicians, and many of them would just say, what can we do to help? And so I saw there was a sort of around that time there were a lot of benefit albums. There are maybe less so now, but there were in the 90s kind of like a bunch of them, and I thought, well, why not one for marijuana? And, you know, of course, if we're going to do a benefit, it would be for Normal. So so we started to put it together, and we were fortunate to find a partner in the record industry, Capricorn Records, which is no longer in existence, a famous record label out of the South, out of Georgia, that was known for discovering the Allman Brothers and sort of putting Southern Rock on the map. And, you know, we went around looking for partners, and we found Capricorn, and it was really a great relationship that we had. And so the, you know, they pretty much put all, you know, put their money and energy, and resources behind this, and, worked very hard to, you know, put out really quality albums, spend money on it to make it, you know, really sound right. And the first one did really well. The one that came out in 1995 with Black Crowes and Blues Traveler and 311 and Widespread Panic and Sublime and Ziggy Marley and 311. We had such a great cast of bands on the first one, and that did really well. That raised about $125,000 for Normal. We pretty much sold about that many copies as well, $125,000. It was almost like a buck a CD went to Normal. And so we went ahead with the second one, and the second one didn't do as well. We didn't have quite the big names on it, though, you know, I appreciate your comment about the second one, that it lives in your CD player in your car. You know, I think it's a great album, but it didn't really translate to the same kind of sales. We probably did about 25,000 on that second one. We had Willie Nelson and George Clinton and a lot of other sort of legends on that album, Wayne Kramer, Mike Watt, people like that, but they weren't quite the names of the Black Crowes and 311. So, and also 95 was sort of a watershed year. Marijuana was sort of making a big comeback in the media and on college campuses. And so I think we just, you know, hit the tide right. And also there was a lot of controversy the first year when that one came out. There was a lot of targeting it by anti-drug groups, and even the drug czar attacked it. And all these negative, takes on the album, or attempts to censor it just, increased sales. So we didn't, the second time around, we hoped to get the same type of attack, but this time I think the drug office of the White House was a little too smart to fall into that trap.
And Steve, having gone through all this media, what were some of the programs and actors that really caught your eye this year?
Well, just generally the quality of the performances. I would say Jennifer Aniston appearing in the movie Friends with Money. That's a good example of a fairly smart characterization of a pot smoker who's deemed by a lot of the characters in the movie as to be having problems because she smokes a lot of pot, but by the end of the movie she sort of wins the day. So that was a good one. A Scanner Darkly is a very impressive movie. Richard Linklater, who made Dazed and Confused, that's kind of a leading candidate for best movie for this year. An important movie, and coming from a guy who really cares about the drug issue, and you know, probably have that many directors who care about it the way he does or thinks about it as deeply and profoundly. So, you know, that was a good sign. Someone like Richard Linklater, you know, leaving, you know, sort of the romantic comedies aside and going into something a little more serious, like A Scanner Darkly, which is based on the Philip K. Dick novel, kind of a futuristic story about, you know, when the government kind of takes control of the drugs at the same time, you know, is busting people for it. So they're making money and then putting people in jail for it, which, you know, sounds a little similar to what we have now anyway, though they don't have control of marijuana. Although they, you know, they attempt to try to control marijuana, but you know, other drugs, you know, how come there's so much cocaine in America? Well, are they making money off this? You know, how come there's so much powder drugs in America? You know, who's making the money off of that it gets through the borders? You know, marijuana really is not heavily imported these days. You know, it's being more and more coming from, you know, local domestic grows, and so it's a little different than, you know, imported drugs. But in movies, you know, there's there was Grandma's Boy is a a fairly standard stoner movie. Each year there is, you know, one big one, and I kind of think Grandma's Boy, again, has the lead for best stoner movie. And, you know, it's a fun movie. It's based around a video game programmer who's a pot smoker, and it's a really fun movie because you really have never seen the two worlds combine, video games and marijuana, and that's kind of what makes that movie unique. And you know, every time that there's a big stoner movie that comes along, there's some new theme. You know, when Harold and Kumar won last year, it was due to the fact that here was a buddy movie with two Asian characters that you've never seen before. Maybe Cheech and Chong was closest to that, you know, with Tommy Chong, and Cheech being Hispanic, but here with two guys, I gather a Korean character and an Indian character, so there's always something that kind of like plays with the theme and makes kind of, you know, makes you think a little bit in a new direction. But, you know, there was a good quality series of movies this year. And on the TV side, like I said, Weeds has been a watershed. Weeds has really opened the door in a way that, say, Queer as Folk has done for gay programming or gay characters, you know, being more and more of a presence in TV programming. And you kind of see that in movies as well. Like the movie The Family Stone is a good example. Not a great movie, but, you know, there's gay characters in the family. There's a stoner character played by Luke Wilson in the family, and that's what you get these days. You get this sort of assemblage of different personalities, you know, that try and fit the American mosaic. You know, what are people doing, and, you know, how are people sort of somewhat, you know, in movies coming out of the closet a little bit, and it's not just the dopey stoner anymore. I think it's, you know, more towards, you know, the intelligent stoner that you're going to see represented in movies.
You mentioned the cable show Weeds a couple of times, and Jenji Kohan will be there tomorrow night.
Yeah, she's the creator of the show and executive producer, and she will be attending with some other Showtime representatives, so we're very excited about that. Pretty sure Weeds is going to win an award or two. I don't want to tip our hand yet, But yes, that's a kind of a breakthrough because Jenji has not, to my knowledge, attended any marijuana-oriented events. I know Normal asked her to attend the last conference, and she wasn't able to. And High Times is featuring Kevin Nealon in the current issue, on the December issue of High Times. And so, you know, there's sort of the door's opening a little bit. Even with Weeds, you know, Showtime has been careful about its advertising. They haven't advertised the show in High Times. But they have, you know, been very open to editorial coverage. We find that a lot, that often is the case. Please give us editorial coverage for free, as opposed to us, you know, taking ads like we would elsewhere. And, you know, it is important to High Times to see that shift. You know, it does sound like we're just looking for money, but it really isn't. It kind of tells you that the industry is going to take the magazine seriously and not be fearful of catering to the audience. You know, they can do it, you know, carefully by trying to get publicity, you know, but, you know, when it comes to actually spending money to promote their shows and advertising it, you know, in a magazine like High Times, it's still been kind of taboo. And, you know, that has been one of the goals of the Stonies. It's not for the money. It's just to, you know, to show that, you know, these companies will, you know, put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, and not be fearful, you know, of being in High Times or any other magazine similar to High Times, you know, that promotes marijuana. You know, this is where you should go when you want to market those movies. And if you don't, you're going to have a bomb. You know, you're not going to really, you know, get the crowd that you're really looking for. And, you know, how could you not come to High Times?
So, Steve, also, when these industries shift in their treatment of High Times Magazine and Normal, when they take these more seriously, this is part and parcel taking the rest of American pot smokers more seriously as well.
I think so. I think that we kind of, like, see the effect of it, you know, on that level, on the media level. And we're trying to make those kind of changes. You know, High Times works, you know, extremely hard to change the marijuana laws and change the perception of marijuana to, you know, a vast number of people who might think, you know, negatively about it and, you know, promote the positive uses of marijuana. So, you know, to get the industry a little bit more in line with the focus of the magazine and to be less fearful of what it's about and to be able to promote it, you know, via the magazine, you know, is a step in the right direction.
All right. Tomorrow night in New York City at B.B. King's Blues Club, the High Times Magazine Stony Awards. Doors open at 7, show begins at 9. Tickets are still available online, and get them today because they're a little bit more at the door.
Well, if you go to Ticketmaster.com and you type in Stony Awards, that's probably the fastest way. If you go to HighTimes.com and you go into the features section on the homepage, you'll see, you know, you know, a section about the Stony Awards. It's $30 as of today, $40 as of tomorrow, and we have $150 VIP tickets that get you all kinds of goodies. We have a pre-party tonight, a post-party that'll get you into, get you premier seating, get you a gift bag, get you some drinks for free at the show, all kinds of fun things like that. So there's still tickets available for all the normal people out there in the tri-state, you know, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area. We really welcome you, and we urge you actually to come to the show tomorrow night. We'd love to have you.
Steve Bloom, thanks again so much for joining us here today on the Audio Stash. Looking forward to tomorrow night and speaking with you again here in the future.
Oh, same thing here, Chris. Thanks for having me, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Steve Bloom is editor-at-large for High Times Magazine and the producer of the annual Stony Awards in New York City. The awards take place at B.B. King's Blues Club tomorrow night. There are tickets still available. We have links to buy them at normalaudiostash.com. And as promised here today, here's Blues Traveler from the Hempilation One album, I Want to Take You Higher.
Take me high.
That was Blues Traveler on the Hempilation 1 album with I Wanna Take You Higher. That's an album put together by Steve Bloom, High Times Magazine, as a benefit for the Normal Foundation. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.